Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today podcast on Thursday, the 9th of November, 2023. I'm Andy Eubank, the podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more or stop by your local branch and talk about your ag operation today. Coming up today, C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson on the news, including calls for another extension of the Farm Bill and the benefits of joining your fellow woodland owners in Indiana. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says dampness goes away today and sunshine and a dry period begin. And the ag markets all moved back to the upside yesterday. Tom Fritz has market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
For many of you here in Indiana, agriculture is your life's work and legacy. I'm Bruce Kettler, President and CEO of the Agribusiness Council of Indiana. Throughout my career, I've been immersed in Indiana agriculture and appreciate the role that ACI plays on behalf of Indiana agribusinesses. ACI is the proactive voice for agribusiness, and we invite you to join us in our mission. Visit our website, inagribiz.org, to get your membership started today. The Agribusiness Council of Indiana, strengthening and connecting Indiana agribusiness.
Lawmakers pushing for another extension of the Farm Bill and the benefits of joining the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, since a new Farm Bill isn't likely to be approved this year, some lawmakers on Capitol Hill are now looking at the next steps. Sabrina Halverson reports.
As the House is getting back to work after selecting a new speaker, there are growing calls for an extension for the Farm Bill. Ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, Democrat David Scott of Georgia, called on fellow representatives to extend the 2018 Farm Bill by 1 year.
We stand united against any efforts to take food away from children, families, or any vulnerable American in this Farm Bill or any legislation.
His Republican counterpart from Georgia, Austin Scott, who also serves on the House Agriculture Committee, agrees it may be time to consider an extension.
I think we are headed for an extension and then hopefully get the budget resolutions, the appropriation measures done, and then in January, February, in that timeline, complete work on the Farm Bill. But for now, it does look like an extension is going to be necessary. As you know, it's been probably one of the crazier years in D.C. with the removal of the speaker and just now getting a new speaker and not having the appropriation measures done.
But he says it may still be a while before lawmakers can focus on the Farm Bill.
Right now, I think the focus is on completing the resolution and appropriation measures. Those of us on the Ag Committee are as frustrated as the American farmer is and farm family is. And I personally want to apologize that we haven't gotten this done.
Speaking at an event in Oklahoma City, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson also said an extension was needed.
So we will need an extension. We've actually worked on that language. CBO has it, our version, and it's our number one priority.
It could still be several weeks before that Farm Bill extension is approved. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, if you own a woodlot, then you may consider joining the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association, or IFWO for short.
One of the good things is you're able to meet many people across the state and network.
And that's Don Fry, who's a member of IFWO. He and his wife are both retired and own a cabin in 97 acres of woods near Terre Haute.
It's a wonderland for not only my wife and I, but our family. We have three kids and we have six grandsons. All of them are located in the Lafayette, West Lafayette area, so we make many trips to Terre Haute.
Don says he initially joined IFWO to learn more about maintaining his woods and getting the most out of his property.
Making plans on what we want to do with the property and seeing not only the timber increase, but also the wildlife habitats improve, the songbirds, the turtles. We have a stream that runs through our property, so we make sure that we have clean water that's running into that stream that eventually goes into the Wabash River.
He adds that IFWO not only provides outstanding resources for its members, but also a chance to connect and build friendships with other Indiana woodland owners.
It's the people that we meet, not only the members, but also people that come and speak about their specialties, whether it's prescribed burning, whether it's oak regeneration, whether it's taking care of invasives. It's a wealth of information. $50 membership entitles you to connect to these people, how to get cost share through NRCS and other opportunities around the state. And it's something that is really hands-on.
As Don just mentioned, membership is only $50 a year. And for more information about joining the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association, visit ifwoa.org. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Radio Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Pretty easy one here this morning. Moisture went through last night, and we're still dealing with maybe a little bit of the hangover from that this morning. It's damp out there for sure. We picked up anywhere from a few hundreds to a few tenths, depending on where you are at. But precipitation's done. Clouds going to be giving way to sunshine here as we move through your Thursday. And we're on our way to a nice dry weather forecast pattern. As a matter of fact, I am precipitation free in my forecast from today through at least next Thursday. And we are looking at temperatures being a little bit chilly to start here. Don't get me wrong. Today, tomorrow, Saturday, and even Sunday, we are going to be a little bit below normal. I'll call it seasonal for this time of year, but at least we see decent sunshine. And then we get on the backside of Canadian high pressure, and we really start to see south flow bump our temperatures up. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, well above normal temperatures. Warm, dry, excellent evaporation. Look, if you still have harvest left, you should easily be able to knock it out in this week-long dry period that we have through next Thursday. I'm going to call an end to the harvest season here as we get through this next week. So nice little wrap-up here. Now, going further, I will want to point out there is a system trying to come together the end of next week in the Four Corners region. And you know, this time of year, that's where some of our big ripping systems start. So I'm watching this closely. There's moisture. There's low pressure there. I think it's going to be on track to give us some moisture to start the week of the 20th, Thanksgiving week. So be aware of that. But right now, I have no major problems ahead of it. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Markets all higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. And although off the highs, especially in soybeans, it was a positive day overall. We'll have settlements coming up. First market analysis, I grabbed that at the end of trade from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Tom, we had a turnaround Tuesday and then another turnaround on Wednesday as markets go higher. Corn up, beans up, well off the highs though, but maybe we should begin with Chicago wheat. Short covering rally there. What's the story?
Well, we've got some minor stories, and then we've got a bigger story. The minor stories are we continue to hear about production cuts to the Australian and the Argentinian wheat crops due to a lack of moisture. But the bigger story is that a vessel on the Black Sea that was entering the Ukraine port of Odessa was hit by a Russian missile. One person has died and four others wounded. This brings to question how safe is it dealing with Ukraine coming out of these Black Sea ports. So I think that prompts the short covering that we're seeing in our wheat markets. And it's interesting to note that further clarification that this vessel that was hit by a Russian missile was coming into the port of Odessa to load with iron ore destined for China. Makes one think, well, China talked to Russia about, hey, what are you doing? So that's just my opinion, but that's the rationale for the noticeable short covering that we saw today. Tomorrow we're going to get a supply-demand report, and not much is expected in the domestic front, as evidenced by last Monday's, lowest, one of the lowest ever weekly export inspections of wheat at just 70,000 tons. So if there's going to be any hoopla, if you will, tomorrow after the USDA report, it will be from world numbers. And still not sure, you know, world numbers are going to be such that would prompt a furthering of the short covering rally we saw today. But, you know, once again, okay, you know, Ukraine has said we've got, we created our own safe humanitarian corridor. Well, how safe is it now after this last missile strike? So going forward, we'll see how that pans out. And that helped the corn market out today. I think the corn market also saw some fair amount of short covering ahead of tomorrow's numbers from the USDA, even though smart guys are suggesting that we're going to see a slight hike in production, and which would equate to a slight hike in the carryout. So that would suggest, okay, a little bit more production, but no change to demand. So, you know, and I do think if we're going to see any change in demand, it has to come much further down the road. You know, unless this Ukrainian deal, you know, sees further escalation. If it doesn't, increased corn demand won't happen until much further down the road, and that would be due to problems with the Brazilian and Argentinian corn crops, and we are months away from that. Now, we can, you know, give you a big what-if scenario for months down the road, but, you know, what do you do in the meantime? And in the meantime, I think the corn market goes nowhere. Soybeans, you know, earlier today, you know, they were a noticeable upside leader, as was soybean meal. But problems holding on to these gains, such as we saw yesterday as well. So I'm wondering if that's an increase in cash movement for soybeans. We saw a fair amount of soybean sales announced this morning to China. Well, 443,000 tons of beans for China, then an additional 476,000 tons of beans going to unknown. Well, we're going to think the unknown is China, especially with numbers that size. You know, you add the two together, it's just shy of a million tons. So, you know, we're going to be looking out for that. And makes one think, is China looking at the delayed crop, if you will, from Brazil? You know, China needs a steady supply of soybeans coming at them. And so if the Brazilian crop is noticeably delayed, they're going to, the U.S. will be asked to fill that void. And I think this is part of that. It's a little premature to say that the soybean crop has been damaged because right now we're just looking at delayed planting. And but there is a couple of entities starting to suggest that, you know, maybe production won't be quite as robust as originally thought. So, you know, but that takes time going forward in that regard. So, you know, it's, do you want to count your chickens before they hatch? I don't know. But on the weather front for Brazil, still hot and dry. And as far as I can tell, we won't see any hint of a pattern change, at least until 10 days out from now. And we're talking a pattern change of the hot and dry in the state of Mato Grosso. I get the impression that the excessive moisture in the south is going to be with them for a while. So tomorrow's USDA report for soybeans, minimal changes are expected. Even we see no change, the soybean carryout is still representing a very tight stocks to usage ratio. So any problems with the soybean crop out of Brazil will impact our carryout, And you could think soybeans will go higher. But for the time being, market action the last 2 days, the inability to maintain the intraday highs, even though today we made a new high in each case, the inability to sustain those intraday highs suggests, yeah, maybe we've gone high enough for the time being, given everything that we know right now.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now the Wednesday settlements, December corn 476, a pickup of 7.5 cents. March contract up 6.5, going to 490. Beans well off the highs, January 1365 and 3/4, up 3 3/4, and March up 3 cents, 1377. December wheat 592 1/4, 22 cents up. The meats mixed, December live cattle 179.40, up 62, but December lean hogs a $1.40 sell-off down to 71.50. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.